Miloš Karadaglić is with us, the superstar classical guitarist growing up in Montenegro before making his way to the UK at age 17 to begin further training and recording a debut album that would sit at number one on the Billboard classical charts for over 6 months in 2011. His six studio albums have sold over 500,000 copies and topped classical charts in multiple countries. He has 2 gramophone awards. Music Magazine included him in 6 of the best classical guitarists in the past century. And the New York Times cited him as one of the most exciting and communicative classical guitarists today. His collaborations on record are almost as impressive as his solo works. Long Long's Disney book, Jonas Kaufman's The Sound of Movies, The Moon and the Forest with Canadian Lord of the Rings composer Howard Shore. Furthermore, projects with Yannick Nézet-Séguin, Lisa Batiashvili, Alison Balsam, and Jess Gillum. His Sony classical label debut arrives on October 13th, Baroque. Here we enjoy Miloš's carefully curated selection of Baroque works, especially transcribed and arranged for the guitar, both solo and in collaboration with Jonathan Cohen and his ensemble, Arcangelo. The album features Bach, Marcello, Scarlatti, Rameau, Handel, and Vivaldi. To name a few, he will perform moments from his Baroque at Carnegie Hall next month and then goes out on North American tour in 2024 with Quebec City's Les Violons du Roi. Miloš, welcome to the New Classical FM.
Thank you so much. It's great to talk to you.
You're in London, England, is that right?
That's correct. I've lived in London for 23 years, ever since I came here to study the Royal Academy of Music.
Yeah, that's an interesting part of your life because you're in Montenegro, you're a very young man, you're 17 years old, and you put together a tape for the Royal Academy, even though you live at a time and in a region of the world that is going through conflict and so on. That must have been sort of a strange moment into your life and suddenly all this success coming your way.
Well, it was like landing on Mars, as I sometimes joke, to come to London to study there and to be surrounded by these amazing young players, to be in the middle of one of the rare world cities, taking it all in as a 17-year-old, green, inexperienced, never left my family before. And suddenly I have this incredible opportunity to study at the academy, to learn from the best and to find the best version of myself. That's kind of how it was. And I could have lived anywhere in the world at that point because I was so focused on my work at that time that the fact that London was such a world city didn't really affect me. I wasn't part of that for a few years at all because I just had so much to learn and I worked really, really hard. But then it also meant that when I was ready, feeling that it was my time, that I was in a place where I could grab the opportunities and where I could build what then followed. So I'm immensely in love with London, and it's an ever-changing city. It's an exciting place, and I've been calling it home for all this time.
Yeah, long time in your life. I look at that first record, Mediterraneo, and it stays at number one. Now, this is some years after you get to London, but it stays at number one on the UK classical charts for 28 weeks. That's 6 months that it's at number one. You're still in your 20s. A, it's sort of shocking, I would think, but also all that hard work, all that focus, it sets you on your way.
Well, it was a big milestone, and signing with Deutsche Grammophon was a brand new beginning. It was a new chapter after all those years of studying and being at the academy and trying to make it. In those years before that moment, it was really hard to break through as a classical guitarist.
Sure.
There weren't so many, or there were no young classical guitarists who were really playing on the highest international level, because guitar was very much in the niche. Everywhere I went, despite the fact that I have played some important concerts and so on, and people were noticing me, everyone always kept saying, you know, we can't sign you for management or for this or that, because there's just no opportunities for the guitar. And I never understood that, because I thought guitar is the most popular instrument in the world. It's an instrument everyone can relate with. And at the same time, we live at a time when classical music is fighting to survive. And we are saying no to an instrument which is a godsend sure. to unite those worlds of classical and mainstream. So I had to persevere and I had to believe in myself and who I was and had to not lose faith that one day it will happen. And the right moment came and there I was with my first album and with this wonderful start of this wonderful relationship with Deutsche Grammophon and Universal Music. And the album did what it did. That really changed my life. And that was the beginning of an extraordinary journey that allowed me to really explore my wildest dreams and to make them come true, not without difficulty, because you are under a lot of pressure to constantly deliver and all the eyes are on you and suddenly everything you play or say matters. But it was a role that I took very seriously. I knew that I was there not really just building my own career. I was there representing guitar. I was doing my best to open it up in a way to create a better world for guitar and guitarists. And seeing that there are so many wonderful players and that are playing in festivals and with orchestras today in America and in Europe and all around the world is something that is incredibly satisfying and wonderful.
I remember getting The Moon in the Forest a couple of years ago and you working with Howard Shore, our Canadian composer, on that recording. And I think I remember it was important for you to produce new guitar concertos. And so I'd be interested to hear about, again, that feeling that you need to represent the guitar in that form. And also, I'd love to hear about working with Howard Shore.
I recently saw Howard. There was a weekend of celebration of his music at the Radio France in Paris, and I performed The Moon in the Forest. And working with Howard was wonderful because he is such a visionary and also such a gentleman and such a dear friend. We developed such a wonderful friendship through this process, and playing his music always feels so incredibly personal because this piece was written for me and it speaks to me. It even takes some of the Montenegrin folk songs influences in certain bars and it just interweaves it into the texture of the concerto. And through Howard also for playing in Canada. We premiered the concerto in Ottawa. I'm so often in Toronto. My godmother lives there and I spend a lot of time there. It's sort of my North American home. I'm really lucky.
You know, there is so much to talk about, especially as we look lately these days. We just got the Jonas Kaufmann record, The Sound of Movies, and we also enjoyed the Long Long performance as part of the Disney book, and so maybe we can touch on those in a moment. But joining Sony Classical for this Baroque album, I'd love to hear a little bit about the idea of debuting with a Baroque recording and digging a little deeper than Bach. I think that was the idea here.
Exactly. And in the very same way that I wanted to, for the first time, present myself to the world through the repertoire of Spain and the Mediterranean with the first album, I felt that after that whole process of recording Latin music, concertos, getting further left into the Beatles and more popular repertoire and then commissioning concertos, I felt that that one chapter was over and that, you know, now I'm 40 years old. I have done a lot. I have had my ups and downs. I have been through the thick and thin of it all. And as a result of all of that, I feel that I found myself. And now I wanted to start that new chapter with the repertoire that is in the very core and the center of me. I'm a person of contrasts, of very high emotions, of energies that are very often contradictory. And that very much reflects in my music. So Baroque music couldn't be more perfect to express that.
We do get Bach on this recording, but we also get Marcello's Oboe Concerto. We get Scarlatti's Sonata. Rameau, Couperin, Vivaldi. So certainly names that people know. Because often we do just receive a couple volumes of Bach material or what have you when it comes to a classical guitarist searching Baroque. And so here you've really expressed a lot.
You know, Bach is really the starting point, and it's the beginning and the end. Bach is the god of them all. And Bach is very present in our process. And as a student, I played a lot of Bach. From the other Baroque composers, maybe Weiss and some Scarlatti. But Scarlatti always to impress rather than express.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I wanted to see how can I bring the repertoire that I love so much from the whole musical opus, and how can I bring that into the guitar? How can I explore the Vivaldi concertos for the violin, which are so incredibly virtuosic that you feel like the violin is going to burn? How can I bring the bravura of Cecilia Bartoli to the world of guitar? How can I do a sustain on the guitar that Víkingur Ólafsson does in his Arts and the Hours on his record? Or it possessed many, many challenges on me, and I wanted to do an album which goes away from Bach and what was standard repertoire for the guitar. And after many months of working and researching and arranging and transcribing and seeing what works and what doesn't, and this wonderful collaboration with Johnny Cohen and Arcangelo, and Jonathan Cohen actually is a principal conductor of Le Violon de Roi from
Quebec City.
And we are going on a big, big, big tour together just very soon, actually. I came to a point where I thought, I have gone through Europe, through all the European courts. I have brought the music from so many influences with these shorter pieces and these contrasting movements, but it needed something to ground it. And even though I said I won't do Bach, I felt that the moment I put the Chaconne there, it was like I suddenly created a solar system where the Chaconne was the sun and everything else was the planets around it. And that was a wonderful feeling. And it was the moment when I realized that I was ready to go into the studio and to do this.
It's a wonderful recording. We've heard a bit of a preview. We're going to be enjoying some of the music throughout the program today as we're talking to you. But I thought I'd get you to note your collaborations on those other records I talked about, and starting with the Disney book and Long Long. And it seems like your name pops up very often on records that we receive from many different artists. And so maybe talk about working with him.
Lang Lang is a very dear friend of mine, and he is such an incredible ambassador for the piano, and his work is simply remarkable and such a trailblazer of his sort. And we've connected over many topics in this life and our careers. He was very kind to invite me to guest on the Disney album, which was tremendous fun. Very different world, very different kind of music. You just always have to be open, and you always have to find the essence, and how does that essence speak to your essence? And if there is a line between those two things, then it works. And I felt that when I was recording my parts for that, that I really, really felt that this piece is going to speak to people of all ages. And I'm very happy that it's one of the feature tracks on his album.
It was a big record too, and just huge exposure for the both of you. And so, which is great to reach so many ears. And I have to ask about working with Jonas Kaufmann, because we just got it last week, and it's The Sound of Movies, and you're featured on numerous tracks there. So that was a nice collaboration.
Absolutely. And of course, Jonas being the legend that he is, and I'm a huge fan of opera and his voice. And I just love being part of that. It's a sort of lighthearted album. It's to do with films and some songs that are meaningful to him. And guitar is such a versatile beast, isn't it? I mean, it sits so comfortably between all those different worlds. And on one hand, you can record an album of the most refined Baroque pieces, and then there you are playing Moon River with Jonas Kaufmann. And, and why not?
It's absolutely true. And by the way, Yannick Nézet-Séguin, speaking of Quebec and that region, he was just with us last week. And he said to say hello. And I know that's been pretty regular Canadian connection for you as well.
Definitely. And I adore that man. And what he gave me in that collaboration with the Rodriguez Concertos and recording that with him and the London Philharmonic at that time was an absolute dream come true. And I'm so proud that that record is out there and it will stay long after me. I'm so grateful to Yannick for that gift.
Remind us about the North American tour, because this record is coming out and then the tour, you're at Carnegie Hall and then the UK and with Jonathan Cohen and Arcangelo in January 2024, then the North American tour. And so is it going to be a lot of Baroque or are you going to be mixing it up?
Well, the first thing on the schedule is a tour of Spain with Aranjuez. And, you know, bringing Aranjuez to Spain is never an easy thing.
No.
But after that, it's recitals and touring with Jonathan and Baroque ensembles. And it's a very much representative of the album. Carnegie Hall is particularly exciting on the 30th of November. We are in Quebec City the night before. And then in April, we are pretty much everywhere. It's going to be a very exciting season.
Milos, it is such a wonder to hear your music. It is such a wonderful thing to have your music a part of our playlist every day here on the New Classical FM. And we're just such big fans. So thank you for taking a few moments with us here this afternoon. And as well, thank you for the new recording. We really are looking forward to it.
I'm so thrilled. Thank you very, very much.